God be the glory.
Once again, he has blessed us to be able to come tonight to declare the good news, the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has also given us a great opportunity to be here at Fairview Church of Christ and to be encouraging to those who are out tonight and to each and every one of us to know the Lord and to obey him before it's everlasting and eternally too late. We have such a great opportunity to enjoy heaven as our final destination if we but obey the Lord's word, if we live in accord with his will. If you're outside the ark of safety this evening, you can come and put your Savior on in baptism for the remission of sins. You can come and rededicate your life. You can come and ask prayer. And you can come tonight and place membership right here at Fairview Church of Christ. I've learned from this very fine congregation just how beautifully grounded in the Word the church is. And I appreciate that. And I've appreciated that for years as we've received an invitation, my wife and myself, to be in this very fine congregation and to declare the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I enjoyed speaking to the Bible class on the subject, discovering discipleship. Discovering discipleship. And I talked to you about the lessons from Brother Paul Orr. I told you a little bit about Brother Orr and the congregation where he was encouraging disciples to be made, and that was at North Boulevard Church of Christ in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And I just want to continue with a service that I started in Sunday school this morning. And discovering discipleship means simply discovering how to become a better follower of Jesus Christ. I told you that an apostle is one who witnessed the various things that took place when Jesus ministered on the face of this earth for some 3 years or more. And I told you the importance of being a disciple. We can't be an apostle, but we can be a disciple. I certainly appreciate a very fine song service Brother Spicer gave us, and the beautiful reading of God's word and the beautiful prayer going up to God on our behalf by Brother Howe. Now, I want you to know how beautiful it is to hear the songs that were rendered to you and the beautiful prayer. It says, Follow Me was his first selection. And then God is so good. He definitely is a good God. We ought to thank him for being such a good God. Footprints of Jesus. Wherever those footprints go, we want to be involved in laboring in those footsteps and continuing in that ministry toward bringing others to Jesus Christ and staying within the fold even ourselves. It's good to see. We always call him Brother Shirley with us tonight and his wife. We are glad to have them with us, and we appreciate their presence and others who may be visiting. But we are certainly glad to see those from Fairview. We had a good time with Brother and Sister Hudgens, and we appreciate Ronnie and Abby for just a very fine meal. And I know that the elders are certainly backing of what's taking place, and we are thankful for that. And we appreciate you working together as such a beautiful team. We appreciate this membership and the opportunity that's rendered to us as you begin to transition to your new minister. You're going to appreciate that new minister, and you're going to appreciate that new ministry. So let us look at discovering discipleship as we journey towards heaven. First of all, this morning I told you that disciples use scripture to overcome temptation. And I gave you Luke chapter 4 and verses 1 through 13. I told you that disciples, followers of Jesus, leave everything to follow Jesus. I gave you Luke chapter 5 and verses 1 through 11. And then we looked at disciples introduce others to Jesus Christ. John chapter 4 and verses 28 through 30. So Luke chapter 4 and Luke chapter 5 and John chapter 4 gives us sort of an introduction of what discipling is all about. Being a follower of Jesus. And then let's look at the scripture that was read into our hearing on tonight. Matthew chapter 16 and the verses 24 through 26. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Take up your cross, follow me, leave father and mother." I guess father and mother have such a strong hold. Jesus is using this example to let us know what a great sacrifice it is to follow him. It's a heavy cross to bear, but we are to take that cross up. Jesus had to have help from Simon to pick up that cross and to carry it on to Golgotha. He had to the scourging to deal with the beating. Isaiah 52, unlike any man has ever encountered. A beating that allowed his visage to be marred unlike any other man. A beating that changed his face so that you couldn't recognize him. A beating so that you and I could have the right to eternal life. Jesus Christ says, now if you want to follow me, you got to make one of the greatest sacrifices you could ever make. You've got to leave father and mother. Any of us who are married know how difficult, especially as men, how difficult it is to convince perhaps our wives' fathers to let us have their daughters and that we're going to treat them right. But when we take that daughter to marriage, we are actually telling that daughter to leave father and mother and to come and follow us as we go through life together. I remember my father-in-law, when I was trying to date Ethel, my wife, would say to me, "Leave her alone." I said, "Oh my goodness, am I that bad?" But I kept on and kept on and kept on, and finally, I got up enough nerve to go to him and say, "I would like to marry your daughter." And his response was, "I told you to leave her alone, so you might as well take her." Boy, what an answer. Now, we were great friends. We loved each other. But he just didn't want his daughter to come and follow me. But as a result of following me, as I followed Jesus, we found out that we were in the straight and narrow way and going the correct way, even right here on the face of this earth. But to leave father and mother, that's a decision also that you make as a couple. You might be able to live in Fairview for a while and You get a job change and an opportunity, and that job change could be in California. And you say, honey, we are headed to California. I have a better offer there. And the parents say, no, you shouldn't go to California. You should stay right here. You're doing well right here. You should stay right here, Ethel. Don't go to California with Michael. Stay right here. You got to listen to your husband, amen. You got to take up your cross. You got to follow your husband. You got to go with him. Should the fight. Now, I'm not saying don't discuss it. And it might be better to stay right here in Fairview and have that job that you have. But it becomes time to take up and to leave sometimes where you've grown up and go to a better place for better opportunities. So Jesus says, leave father and mother, take up your cross and follow me. And when you take up your cross and follow me, I want you to understand, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You think life is materialism? You think life is what's going on the face of this earth? Jesus says you're going to lose what's happening on the face of this earth in order to follow me. And if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find your life. You'll find a spiritual life. You'll find a wonderful life. You'll have a better life revealed to you because you're following me instead of following mankind. For what if it profit a man if he gains the whole world, if he gets everything on the face of this earth and loses his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? To be a follower of Jesus means you might have to give up something. Something of material value to you. You can't put a price on your soul. We can't put a price on what happens to us when we are compared with heaven or hell. Heaven is the choice I want to make. Heaven is where there is no death. There is no pain. There's no crying. There's eternity with the Master. Boy, what else could I choose other than that? That's more important. And you gain more when you have the Lord on your side. Verse number 28 of Matthew chapter 16 says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there'll be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The Son of Man shall come in glory with his angels. And we are to receive, as members of the church, a reward. It's not going to be a judgment that we're going to be involved in that says whether or not we're going to heaven or hell if we're members of the Lord's church and we've lived faithfully. It's a reward that we're going to receive. It's a reward that we're looking forward to receiving. It's a place where that reward is going to be extended to us. And I'm so happy that as a member of the Lord's church, the Pharisees were seeking a sign in Peter's confession of faith here, and the future events that were foretold was simply letting me know how beautiful it is to become a follower of Jesus. Disciples. Matthew chapter 10 and verses 37 through 38. Turn with me there. Matthew chapter 10 and the verses of 37 through 38. Bible says, don't even love father or mother more than me. Look at what the Bible has to say here, starting at verse number 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And look at verse number 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Father, mother, son, daughter. Jesus gets very personal in telling us the sacrifice that exists in following him. My father would say to me, live like your mother. Stay with your mother's course of life. Don't follow mine. Mine has been one of alcoholism. Mine has been one that's been totally foreign to following Jesus. So follow your mother. Your mother has been faithful. Your mother has been going to services at the Schrader Lane Church of Christ for years. And she's been a good, morally sound woman. Follow your mother. So I had to forsake my father, follow my mother, who was following Jesus. But suppose she wasn't even following Jesus. Suppose my father and my mother were going astray. The Bible says, forsake father, forsake mother. Sometimes we find ourselves in different religions than what we've grown up in. And we might have to leave the teaching that we've received that's caused us not to follow the word of God, but to follow a man-made religion if we stay with our father or our mother or our son or our daughter. And Jesus says the value of following me means that you have to leave those that you love so much, those that you're so close to, and come after me. And if you can't do that, you're not worthy of me. Wow. Those are some strong statements there. But a follower of Jesus is willing to forsake father and mother and son and daughter and everything else and take up the cross and follow him. Paul, when he was preaching in Athens, when Paul was telling those in Thessalonica, and when Paul and Silas were in Berea. Berea was about 43 miles south of Thessalonica, and Thessalonica was about 312 miles north of Athens. When he went into Greece, Athens, Greece, he told that disciples are wise and sincere when relating to unbelievers. Turn with me to the book of Acts, and that's where we are staying tonight, in the book of Acts, chapter 17, and the verses are 16 through 34. Paul is in Athens in Acts chapter 17, verses 16 through 34. And I love reading the Bible. Some people say, well, you know, you're just reading and reading and reading. Well, I'm reading the Word of God, the inspired book that tells me who to follow, that helps me to understand who I need to be looking forward to following the footsteps of. When I think about the various books that are around, they're good and some of them are bad. But oh, how beautiful it is to follow the word of God. When you're upset and when you need comforting, oh, you can go to the Psalms and you can find so many beautiful, comforting scriptures. What's more comforting than the 23rd Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When you're following Jesus, you don't want for anything. You've got everything you need. And like I tell our children, and like now we tell our grandchildren, it may not be name brand, but it's shoes on your feet that you need. It's clothes on your back that you need. It's food on your table that you need. It's a roof over your head that you need. And when you follow Jesus, you've got every bit of that. Disciples are wise and sincere when relating to unbelievers. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. The King James Version says that then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, "What will this babbler say?" These were supposed to be biblical scholars that were asking him, "What is going to come out of the mouth of this man named Paul, this babbler? Other than some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus, and he preached the resurrection." Now notice, they were worshiping strange and adulterous gods. And they thought that Paul was telling them about another adulterous god. This Jesus, one who was resurrected from the dead. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, and we would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God,' whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him I'm going to declare unto you." You've got an altar there for the unknown God. And you're worshiping this unknown God. And as a disciple, as an apostle, I'm going to tell you about this unknown God. Verse number 24. "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, on all the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, 'For we are also his offspring.' For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, or graven by art of man's device. And in times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, what will hear thee again of this matter? We'll hear you at another time. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among which was Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Disciples are wise. They're sincere in talking to unbelievers. And they take many of the things that the unbelievers have around them that they believe in, but they began to, not in such a critical way as to drive, but in a way that's sincere and humbling, so as to draw them into understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ and becoming a part of following Jesus. Just think, Athens could have killed Paul. But Paul stood up in the midst of Athens and looked at what you have here and what you have there. And I'm not going to tell you to tear down this altar to the unknown God. I'm not gonna speak against the unknown altar that you have, this idolatrous God that you have. But I'm going to tell you the definition of this unknown God. I'm going to tell you who this unknown God really is. I'm going to tell you, and when I tell you, you're going to come away knowing Jesus. Wow. Philip joined himself to the chariot as the eunuch was going his way, and he told the eunuch about Jesus. And you don't find in the book of Acts where he was saying there's water up ahead, and in order to be a child of God, you've got to be buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins. But he didn't do that. He just simply preached Jesus, and the Ethiopian eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Here's your unknown God. Let me tell you about him. And some people clave to the teaching that Paul did and accepted Jesus, and others didn't. But he did. He told them about Jesus in such a manner so as not to drive them, but to draw them to obedience. Disciples will be persecuted just as Jesus was. Go with me to Acts chapter 4 and the verses of 23 through 31. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31. Followers of Christ will be persecuted just as Jesus was. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Peter and John had been arrested. The Bible says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Kings of the earth stood up, and rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now the Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that we may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. To be arrested, to be persecuted, Peter and John still stood up boldly, declaring the truth of God's word. Stand for Jesus. Be a follower of Jesus. And sometimes folk will talk of God. Sometimes folk will talk and speak against you. Sometimes folks will persecute you. Sometimes they might even put you in prison depending on where you are teaching the truth of God's word. Go to China and see what happens when you boldly declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our oldest daughter and her husband traveled to China on a missionary journey. Their children, Caleb and Zoe, were with them. And as a result of teaching the gospel of Jesus, they had to kind of go underground with that teaching. And they would call, and we would go online, and we would talk with them, and I would say, how are you doing in spreading the gospel of Christ? And they would say, Daddy, you can't say that. And I would say, have you had anyone to be baptized today? And Daddy, you can't say that. How are you coming along? Are they accepting Jesus? Daddy, you can't say that. And finally, they called up their mother and said, Mom, you're going to have to talk to Dad, because he's going to get us arrested over here. He's going to get us hurt over here. You can't talk boldly and openly about Jesus. But they followed Jesus. And they would say, we have one that's going to take a bath tonight. That meant they were going to be baptized. Isn't that wonderful? They began to use different kinds of language to relate to us what they were doing and how they were able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in a communist nation. Otherwise, they would have been persecuted. Otherwise, they would have been imprisoned. My wife and I were overseas in Nigeria. We were asked to, in so many words, stop preaching the gospel and to just simply go on up into the Upper Volta area, or on up into area that was beyond the city, and teach the children the education that we have received in America. And you have to be a school teacher. You know math, and you know English, and you know this, and you know that. And if you don't go and do what we tell you to do as a government and teach as an educator those things to our culture, to our people, you must leave. And we told the government we were there to teach Jesus. We were there as missionaries standing for the Lord and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they said, you are going to have to leave. And we left. And we were headed back to the United States after just a short 3 months. We were supposed to be there for a year. And my head was just throbbing. It was just hurting over the fact that we were not able to fulfill our journey. But the Lord stepped in. While on the plane, we met Brother and Sister Bird from Lubbock, Texas. From that area anyway. And they said, who are you? We told them who we were. Said, where are you going? I said, we're going home. We've been banished from Nigeria. Said, do you know how much you're needed over here as a missionary? Go to Ghana. Meet those in Ghana, Brother and Sister Reynolds. And when you get there, Royce and Cindy will take you in. And as you continue teaching, you'll be, have an apartment built over the Christian school there. And you'll be able to continue teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't go home. You're needed as a missionary. Don't go home. Stay in our house until one is built for you. We called our elders at the Church of Christ at Jackson Street and told them about it. And they said, y'all make your decision. We made the decision to follow Jesus. And we were well received for about 9 months teaching the word of God. Finally, we got that year in, a whole year, preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, despite various persecutions that we received, various times when it was dangerous, various times when the Ekpo would chase me and throw spears at me for standing up preaching Jesus Christ. I'm glad I was young and could run fast, because those spears began to fall behind me. And I don't think it was because I could run so fast. It was because I was running for Jesus. And he was able to let those spears fall behind me. And I was able to continue teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Ekpo would have dead chickens and dead animals wrapped all around them. And they would scare the people, and they would hunt those who were doing this and doing that and try to kill them. And trying to kill me would have been difficult because I was standing and running for Jesus. I want you to know that disciples will be persecuted just as Jesus was. But keep on keeping on for the Lord. Sometimes you won't be invited to the party. Amen. I was asked to perform a wedding. And as I performed that wedding and got through with the performance, I noticed everybody just was so down. They were so downtrodden, and they were just so unhappy. And I couldn't understand it. It was a wedding. They had just gotten through with a beautiful occasion. And so I decided it was time for me to leave. And I left. And before I got in the car, I saw the blinds come up, and I saw different people moving around, and I heard the music that was being played, and they were having a party, a good time. And I wasn't invited, because what they had to drink and what that celebration was all about, I couldn't be a part of that and be a Christian, and they knew that. So they persecuted me by leaving me out of the party. Boy, did they do me a favor as a child of God, as a follower of Jesus, because I might have been receptive of that invitation to be in that party. I might have gotten too deep into that party and lost my soul from sinning. But thank God he rescued me from that. Disciples will be persecuted just as Jesus was. There are some people who are being imprisoned for teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are some who have lost their lives as Christians standing up in the Middle East for Jesus, their necks cut off. Which one will you denounce? Will you denounce the God of this country, or will you denounce the God that you serve? Which one are you going to denounce? And they say, I'm denouncing those that you are serving, which is an adulterous God. And what? Their necks were cut off. And we saw some of that on television, but they stood, and they stood boldly for Jesus. Acts chapter 21. Verses 1 through 14, our last scripture. Disciples should not be afraid to die for Jesus Christ. Paul travels to Caesarea, Acts chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. It came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had lunch, we came with a straight course unto Cus, and the day following unto Rhodes. And from there we went to Patara, and finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unlay her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city. And we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course with tear or tire, some people might say, we came to Ptolemais, and there we saluted the brethren and aboard with them one day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he came, he came unto us. He took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of the place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. And then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord must be done. Paul said, you can talk to me and tell me whatever you want to say to me. I'm willing to die for the cause of Christ. I don't care what's going to happen in Jerusalem. I have to go up to Jerusalem. Jesus said the same thing when he was warned. They're going to capture you. They're going to hurt you. Don't go to Jerusalem. Get behind me, Peter. Get behind me, Satan. I have to go to Jerusalem. I have to die for the souls of mankind. Are you willing to follow Jesus tonight? Come to him. Obey his word. No matter what the sacrifice may be, decide to be a follower of Jesus tonight. Come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. Come tonight by accepting Jesus, who was the perpetuator of our sins. Jesus, who was chosen at the beginning of nothing to be something for the creation that God was going to give. Not only that, come tonight and it'll be just as if you never sinned when you accept Jesus. Looking forward to a glorified body when this life is all over. Come, obey him, accept him, live with him eternally. 1 Corinthians 15. As we together stand and sing the song of invitation, Jesus is calling, be a disciple tonight.